This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it's a good morning to you. It is a very cold day in Gauteng. It is cold. It is, I must say, it's cuddle weather. Cuddle weather.
I'm used to the cold already. It's been cold for 3 days.
I know, but it's just, it's cold.
Yeah, it's nice.
I just got back from Cape Town recently, and it is raining. It is so incredible to see the Spansgemacht River flow. It is so incredible to see the blood. You don't understand what's happening there. People are going crazy. But
when it rains, then they're upset. Then when it doesn't rain, then they're upset. Yeah, there's a pattern forming here.
Absolutely. John, it's whinging Cape Townians, okay? Very special
guest.
Whingy
city.
Our very special guest in studio is the one and only John Flissmus and singing sensation Joseph Clark. We'll chat to them in a moment. But this was interesting because you're right. For the whole of last year, the whole world never came to Cape Town. Cape Townians were depressed. There's no water. We've been we've been in a bucket, literally.
Yes.
Seriously, yeah. In a bucket. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, in a bucket for 1.5 minutes a day. Sometimes Helen Zilla didn't bath for 2 or 3 days in a row. That's her.
Even her tweets stink. It's unbelievable.
But she used to do that anyway.
She used to.
That was her routine, so it was easy for her to do it.
Absolutely. Wake up, terrible tweet, back to bed, yeah.
I want to just say, yeah, this is the complaint that has been going on throughout the Western Cape. And but all of a sudden it's raining and people are, everything's flowing and it's good and all the cucks coming out the systems. And except for the
You're saying like Cape Town is having a big enema at the moment.
Basically.
Colonoscopy. Yes.
So I came across a song from a very special person that was sent to me yesterday by a lady called Sister Rosetta Thorpe. And let me tell you about Sister Rosetta. So this is important. Sister Rosetta looks like one of my great Lebanese aunties. You know, like right. Some of your Greek aunties,
yes.
Big, big, big girls.
Yes.
Okay. And Sister Rosetta, in her 60s, arrives in Manchester and it's raining. It's raining on a... And she's performing for all these English people. And she starts as a 60-year-old, big, robust woman to play this song. Take a listen to Sister Rosetta Thorpe, because I thought this is for Cape Town and the days we are seeing right now and the weekend we've had. In blues, baby. Sister Rosetta Thorpe, just for Cape Town.
Is she an actual name?
That's her name.
Mm. Wow.
It's actually Thorpe.
Thorpe.
Didn't it rain?
Yes, it did, sister.
Yeah. Rain, oh, yes. Didn't it? Yes, didn't it? You know it did, didn't it? Oh, oh, yes. How it rained.
Sure. Look how big the auntie is. God bless her.
Here's all the British people clapping on the one.
It's a strange white people clapping.
Yeah.
Oh, they're struggling to stay with her.
Look like David in the heat of the day.
Tune up the heart. Electric guitar, baby.
And she can play it, eh?
Oh, rain too long. Oh, no, no.
Here comes the drop.
Rain, oh, yes. Didn't it, yes. Didn't it, you know it did, or didn't it? Oh, my Lord, how it rained.
So if you really want to watch something incredible, why don't watch Sister Rosetta Thorpe?
Didn't it rain?
And it's rained in Cape Town.
Nice.
I just don't know if she's asking a question. Is she telling you
didn't
that it didn't rain?
No, but I think this is the part of the blues is you mustn't ask.
Just
let it happen.
You just tell them what
sit
didn't,
back and
didn't
let it happen.
Happen
yeah.
Because it did happen.
Yeah.
Got you.
I tell you, we're in for a great show today with the best, one of the best musicians in the world and stage musicians across South Africa and the world, in Joseph Clark. And got to be one of the best comedians and producers.
Oh, thanks, man. And you're amazing as well. Everyone is awesome. I just want to finish this circle jerk. We're all amazing. So are you, Alan. And you as well. I love your nerves.
Sorry, I just have to say something. You know, that voiceover at the beginning said it's not for children's content, but All I see are children here.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's all children here with headphones on. So, yeah, I don't know. How's that work?
And whoever wrote
this. Do we have to leave or...
Joseph.
Before it starts or what?
Both John and I are in our 40s. Yeah. Number one. Number two is interesting, is that I'm a Leb and he's a Greek.
Yes.
So when you get... We're the best joke? Cook people... What? Give me the joke.
If there's a Lebanese guy and a Greek guy in a car, who's driving? The cops.
Oh!
Okay. Ooh. So John Plissmas' new show is opening at Peter Turin at Monte Cassino on the 11th of July, and it's this coming week. And your press release, very interesting. John Plissmas is 45 years old. He's been a comedian since democracy was born. For decades, he drank everything he could get his hands on and snorted anything granular, even Pronutra once.
Yeah. You don't get high, but you feel really comfortably full. Strange.
Then he stopped all that and decided that he would take a better path in life, reading quietly, building his tattoo collection, and being a better father. It's between these important things he still watches the world through his unique lenses. but once described, I want to know who did this. Once described by another overweight comedian, so it definitely wasn't Mark Lottring.
No.
Okay.
Wasn't it Robert Whitehead?
No. Once described.
Comedian.
Once described by another overweight comedian as proof that Satan fucks rats. Plissmas happily chews on the truth and spits it out hilariously in a dark, happy anger way, brutally honest and with vivid imagery.
Yes. Casper de Vries, that's who said that.
Was it Casper?
In fact, he sits in that very chair. Yeah. Every now and then.
It depends.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever read about myself.
Really?
I genuinely love Casper de Vries deeply. I love that guy. When he said that, I actually got up and praised him on the stage. Was at the roast. I loved him for that.
Okay, that's the roast was...
That's when Steve Hoffmeyer almost took you out and ate your letter or something.
Yeah, he tried to
something.
Make me eat the script.
Oh, yes, that's
he's
it.
He's like any other primate, just angry that he can't read. So, yeah, put the words in your mouth. Like, he's really literal.
You shouldn't make direct eye contact with primates because they get quite aggressive. Also, smiling is seen as baring your teeth.
Yes. Yes. Ever since black people stared at Steve, he's lost the he's literally gone space odyssey on all of us. Yeah. No, he doesn't know what's he's terrible.
And then on the other hand,
he's half the mayor he used to be.
Born and raised in Texas, Joseph Clark left his ballet career in America, where he was brought to South Africa in Swan Lake and Romeo and Juliet. He expanded his musical theatre career and won immense and wonderful acclaims across the globe. His musical roles were Buddy in the Buddy Holly Show. can you believe the two? Look at this to the two biogs.
Yeah, he's quite
a
contrast.
That's a pedigree. I mean, that's a proper pedigree.
And he's proof that angels make love to unicorns.
Okay. A unicorn with a big horn.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope that an angel never has to give birth to a unicorn because that could be really awkward during labor. Enough. You'd have to be really forgiving of that child afterwards.
Definitely.
You'd have to.
From West Side Story to you've performed with Jason Donovan, you've been with Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, you've been across the board, and now your new show, The Queen Experience, or is coming out.
The Music of Queen.
The Music
of
Queen.
What we're calling
that's
it.
That's happening 20th, 21st, 22nd July at the Sun Arena Times Square here in Gauteng.
Oh, yeah.
So these are two great guests and two great. I wanted to give you a proper introduction. You know, it's important to say who you are.
Thank you.
Okay, the spawn of Satan and and the unicorn. Okay. It's lovely. I've never had such a diverse bunch of people.
Light and shade.
Light and shade.
First and foremost, you guys have met in the
past. We know each other for a long, long time.
Long time,
What do you love about performing to South African audiences and being on the stages here?
I think it's a lot of it's kind of the opportunity to be able to, you know, the industry is not so big that there's not room for, you know, pretty much everybody that has the discipline to do it. Mm. I think that, you know, if I may say a disservice to South Africa was the pop idols and the Voice and everything, where yep. people suddenly became stars overnight.
Yep.
People that didn't pay their dues.
Yeah, yeah.
This man has paid his dues like incredibly.
I've had to since the hearing. I promised I'd pay back my debt to society. Yeah.
No, you're still working on the college fund, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't even finish it. Yeah, you got a bursary and he didn't even finish college. No, but I think it's. For those who have the discipline to do it,
yep,
and that there's great opportunities. And the nice thing about the thing that we're in is that we can create our own opportunities. You know, you don't have to wait for a job to come along.
Yeah,
you can make something.
You produce, exactly. You create.
Yeah.
John Plissmas, again, years on the stage, producing now,
mm-hmm.
production company, you've yep. got a talent agent. We haven't seen... we've seen the comedy roast, we've seen some of that fun stuff, but these comedy idol type of shows,
yes.
there's been a few.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be a disservice to? You see, we had, of course, that phenomenal guest last week, also talking about the same thing. You got to pay your dues. You got to hit the stages. You don't just arrive.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people don't realize this. That I was one of the associate producers when Trevor Noah
mm-hmm.
was on SABC3.
Okay.
About 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an interesting one.
Yeah,
and SABC3 canned the show.
Yeah,
canned it after one series. Now, look where he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did we miss something? Were we stupid? Hold on, with SABC stupid?
yes. No, I think that's exactly right. I think what Joseph said nails it. Like, we've got this cult of celebrity in this country where we've skipped a part. Like, you go straight to being a Twitter sensation, but you haven't done anything. And so you are put on TV to in front of people who've never built a career. Like honestly, the pop idols judges, none of them have ever built a successful band, ever. And I mean that with all honesty.
That's
you
true.
Can't pretend to be Simon Cowell just by being rude. And having, you know, a specific haircut.
Exactly right.
You actually have to have a history of building successful bands. Whether we like them or not, Simon Cowell is a sensational business person. He's an industry expert. And mm-hmm. before him was the other Simon Fuller. Like, those are real people.
Mm.
We've got failed record executives, talk radio people. I mean, with all due respect to Gareth, even, he was fun to watch. But ultimately... You produce this
Shimizu, crop. Who's a I mean, he's great, but he's a choreographer.
He's never produced a successful musical.
What is a
Shimizu? So we have these people like thrown on. Well, basically, you know, he's a schmuck absorber. In the words of Mel Miller. But he's a choreographer, and he might be brilliant at that. But at the end of the day, he's not a boy band producer, which is exactly what the world. You know, requires.
Mm.
So I think we're dumping these young talents on the market with some idea that they've done something. All they've done is they've been on Emotainment TV for several weeks. They've given us a story to follow. That doesn't make them able to hit a note when you have to, how you have to find a song to, you know, make it
night
special.
After night, concert after concert.
Every night. So that's the difference. And what's interesting is Joseph should have that stature in this country as having done it again and again and again, for decades. I mean, you've just done the hardest music, the best. It's very good. That's a stature. Now we've got some unknown person with a record deal, with a record label that's collapsing because they don't know how to distribute content anymore because they've been disrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have this false sense of what celebrity is all about.
What we're seeing in TV all the time, because again, you see these new fly-by-night talk shows coming in and out, and no one's producing them properly. No one's saying, you know, it's I'm going to throw it out there because, you know, Three Talk, when I did it, was a fly-by-night. It really was. But after 11, 12 years, I kind of knew what I was doing every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all of a sudden, SABC 3 is so brilliant. They're ingenious because now we said, we're going to change the show after 12 years to another show called Real Talk, which means for 12 years we didn't do the Real Talk, we did nothing, and then we'll just stick somebody in Stain City and we'll just have a one-on-one experience. Now, here's the strangest thing, is that Ellen DeGeneres doesn't have one guest. She's got three or four people and a studio audience. So all of a sudden they're doing an hour with one guest. They have no clue what they're doing. So it comes in so many different, on so many different levels.
Mm.
And the thing is that John Burke said it, he said, you guys got to pay your dues. And I'm like,
who are these Jews?
Or did you pay the Jews?
How do you pay them? Is it Jews? Straight into their account?
Pay the Jews. Yeah. I like that.
Pay your Jews.
Mel Gibson, yes. I think, feels that way when he's had a few toots. He gets very against the Jews of Hollywood. Right. And then he makes movies where the Jews kill Jesus. And he makes billions and billions.
And now he's making one that Jesus comes back.
Is he doing this?
He's doing a sequel. He's doing
No way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Mel Gibson. He's doing the resurrection. Coming. Yeah, he's doing the follow-up to
but it doesn't
the Passion
exist.
Of Christ.
Well,
maybe you, maybe
I thought you
were
a Catholic.
I wouldn't know, obviously, as a spawn of Satan.
But
you should know.
It's a horror movie.
You should be running.
It's not what I said.
Oh, no!
The coming...
It makes John Flesmus very uncomfortable, that's all. Because we all know what happens in the book of Revelation,
exactly.
Don't we?
Well, we know, but it's quite complicated. There's a lot of seals and beasts and things. It's all
pay your dues, that was the point.
But you see, talking about celebrity, John and I are not celebrities. We're working performers.
Yeah, just professionals.
You know, but we may be known, but we're not... We wouldn't never be considered celebrities.
No. And people don't stop you in Monte Cassino for a selfie.
But it's because we're not in it for that... for that reason. Yeah, we're in it because we love doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and we love reaching an audience. And
when did
celebrities
that become
the only reason? There to, just to be known. They don't really, you know...
I find a lot of youngsters that their goal is to become rich or become famous, not to master what they do.
Exactly.
There's that is master of the craft, which is the
I think that's what, if you get, I know as I get older, that's my thing, is I don't really care how many people are watching. I don't really care. I just need a mic and I need some people and I just want to see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I get a kick out of that.
You see, he's made a fortune in the past.
And you know, they've been talking now.
He lives in Hyde Park.
They've been talking now for about the past 15 years, 15, 20 years, that, you know, because the record industry is, the recording industry is showing, they're a little bit berserk now. They're worried, and they've already been talking about that the only musicians that are going to make it are the live musicians and the ones that have done it for years. So what happens is the only way a musician's going to make money, because when they record something, it's going to be free. It's free already, really. You know,
so
what they will do is they will record, they will give their music for free, and then they go on tour. And people who can get that music for free, the minute they're in town, they'll go, wow, you know, we got their music for free, let's go and see these guys. Even if they have to
as
pay
long as you tour.
£500, they will do it. And they and the thing is what's good about that in the music industry is that all of the fly-by-nights, all of the studio singers and musicians will fall away because they can't perform live. And then the real people with the real talent and the real desire to reach an audience will be the ones to make it.
That's why Live Nation have spent so much money buying up the live rights to so many artists around the world and the venues.
And all record labels are doing 360 deals now only.
Record labels.
So, lots of things happening. Lots of things happening. We're talking about this on cliffcentral.com. I'm Alan Ford with the one and only Nathan Rowe. It's good to be with you.
Are you the only Nathan
Rowe? No, I'm actually not. There's one in Japan.
I thought I met another one. I thought I had.
There's a Japanese
kid.
It was
in Tokyo, funny enough.
Yeah.
I met Nathan Rowe.
A great pianist.
In Tokyo?
Yeah.
He's a 12-year-old pianist.
Not really.
I googled myself. I wanted to see if I was famous.
I took a little chance. I just guessed.
And you found out that you were.
Well, no, I found out that there was a 12-year-old Asian pianist that's famous.
But you know why he calls himself. Do you know why he calls himself Nathan Rowe? Because his full name is Jonathan Ross. And there is a British talk show host called Jonathan Ross who doesn't say his, what does he not do?
So people were booking me and I was like, well, I can also not pronounce my R's if that helps.
Right.
But apparently I don't have the look.
Do they ever do the Nathan Row the boat ashore?
I have had that. Have you ever had, my grandfather's clock was too big for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor.
Wow, that's amazing. Can I write that down?
You can.
Okay.
Ooh. Wow.
Destiny.
Hi, John.
If you save Lismas crackers, I'm going to kill you. I'm actually going to stab you with my iPhone.
I wish you were a Merry Flismas.
Oh, God, you see.
Really?
There we go.
And if I ever, are you related to Henry Ford, I'd say I wouldn't be sitting here, my dear. There would be planes planes and yachts.
Exactly.
Or have you ridden a Ford lately? But that is true. It's a good one. Yeah. So,
have you ridden a Ford lately?
Sure.
Yeah, it's such a, you're such a flirt.
completely, John. I'm looking at you across.
Well,
you know, hey. Greeks are good, eh?
Yeah, we invented all of this. So,
yeah, I know.
You
did. Yeah.
What's very hard maths and sex the other way.
So we got a Texan, a Lebanese, a Lebanon, a Leb.
Leb, yes.
I don't know what, a lesbian.
No, and then not a lesbian.
A Greek and a Pora.
Lebanese Pora.
Sure, for Richard or Pora.
And a poor knockoff of a Japanese pianist.
A bra.
I take offense to that.
On that note, you know what? We make everybody sing before 9:30 in the morning, at least.
Oh,
my God.
Here we go.
So, Alan, the thing is, who do we pick on? Is it John or Joseph? John or Joseph?
I would seriously suggest a performance from Joe Clark as opposed to the...
So, I'm going to start... I think we're going to start with something from Joe Clark.
Okay.
And we're going to do something... just to wake everybody up this morning as we say good morning to you as the... Because it's not so warm, and it's a crazy little thing called love. And of course, the show is called The Music of Queen, happening in 2 weeks' time at the Sun Arena Times Square in Pretoria.
And next week we'll be in Cape Town. We're at the Artscape.
And you're in the Artscape in Cape Town. Why didn't I get that part? Of course, because we go everywhere around the world. But Joseph Clark, a little crazy little thing called love.
A little crazy little thing.
Crazy little thing.
The song has just changed since
we
got
here. Why is his love so small?
Actually, you know, on that note, are you going to sing it as well?
Not at all.
I think John should take a verse.
John, come. I have not sung since my last singing class at the Drama Technicon in Durban, where the teacher said, if I give you 50%, will you just... Walk never out. Ever come back here ever again. You need to get out of here. I'm going to hurt some. I'm going to kill the cat. Okay.
In fact, I'll pay half of your bursary as well. The bursary that you still owe.
Still owe.
Take it away. The one and only Joseph Clark. Good morning. It's cliffcentral.com.
Well, this thing called love, I just can't handle it. This thing called love, I must get around to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love. This thing called love.
It
cries in the cradle all night. It swings, ooh, it jives, shakes all over like a jellyfish. Ooh, I kinda like it. Crazy little thing called love. Oh, there goes my baby. She knows how to rock and roll. She drives me crazy. Ooh, she gives me hot cold fever. She leaves me in a cool, cool sweat. Mm-hmm. Where's your ukulele?
I left it outside.
Be cool, relax, get hip, get on my tracks. Take a backseat, hitchhike. Oh, take a long ride on the motorbike until I'm ready.
Ready, Freddy.
Crazy little thing called love. Play your guitar.
Wow, John's really good at
coming, John.
This is my 12-bar instrumental. I know. This is a little thing I just worked up this morning.
Go. John's rocking it.
I can't talk and play. Sorry, hang on. it was a relief, that part.
And it's going to be.
Gotta be cool. Relax. Get hit. Get on my tracks, take a backseat, hitchhike. Take a long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready. Oh, crazy little thing called love. Yeah, this thing called love. I just can't handle it. This thing called love. I must get around to it. I ain't ready. Crazy little thing called love. Oh, crazy little thing called love.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy little thing called love.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy little thing called love.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Joseph Clark.
Crazy that song took quicker to write than it took to play. That's just the story.
45 minutes.
Oh, 45
He wrote
minutes.
It in a bath.
So
really?
So that's the radio edit. Wow.
Yeah, he wrote it one day while taking a bath because, you know, Elvis was his childhood. And he was thinking, and he was taking a bath and he got the entire song, and he rushed to the studio and played every instrument.
Wow.
Before, because he didn't want the other guys to come in, because, you know, they were all collaborative, but he just didn't want the other guys to come in. So he came in and he laid everything down. And when they got to the studio, he said, "Roger, you play this on drums. John, you play this on bass." And then he obviously he told Brian May, you can do whatever solo you want, that you want to do, but you must do the strumming, the acoustic, exactly like I did it.
I'm picturing,
and that was their first number one hit in America.
I'm picturing a naked, dripping Freddie Mercury.
With a towel around him.
Okay, I didn't get to the towel, but thanks for that.
That was often how Freddie was, apparently.
Dripping and naked.
Yeah, he loved to be both of those.
Telling people what to play.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting because one of the very first shows I saw was at the Super Bowl. I was about...
It was 1983.
I was four or five. I'll never forget it. And the interesting thing is that the Sun, you're taking the show, and the Sun Arena has just opened up, which they're comparing to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, it is. It's an incredible venue. Yeah. It's a brilliant venue, really. So,
which is great, because I'm just saying it's a nice way to like do a Queen tribute if you actually do... Do the correlation between the two, I think. Yeah,
it's true.
On that note, we had a song for John for his new show called Brain Dump.
But Brain Dump, yes. Yeah,
but
you
don't have to sing. You see,
I'm not going to sing. Can we not talk about the show rather than singy stuff?
This is cute. We were thinking about something here.
What were you thinking?
And
tell us your thinking, Alan.
What was I thinking?
It's about Brain Dump. Come on, tell us your thinking.
Well, there's not a lot of songs with brains or dumps in them.
No.
Or dumping in brains, or people dumping around your brain.
Well, I don't think you guys get out enough musically, but anyway.
We have issues.
You know, I think you may have limited your search there. I know the internet. There's a lot of things about all of those things.
I do know a great band called Cleveland Steamer.
Right.
But they don't sing about brains. It's just about taking a dump on someone's chest. I suppose, how you just turned the conversation like that.
Well, that's
amazing.
I just
wanted to prove you wrong about my musical prowess.
That's just so bad. I'm the spawn of Satan. This guy is just talking about people going to the toilet on each other's chests. What are you talking about?
Please, this is sometimes...
Alan, who is this guy? What is going on here? Where's the small Asian pianist guy? Please, can we get him back, Alan?
Can we have a little Chopin, please?
He can play a Chopin song. I'll sing along to that. Now it's just the toilet and...
Take out the papers and the trash.
Oh, very good. I like this song because it rhymes as well. It's like a sort of a gentle 50s rap.
Can you do the don't talk back part?
You ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Don't talk back. Yeah, it's like being at school again. This is back to my being expelled. Thanks for rubbing salt in that wound.
You got expelled in 1958?
Well, exactly. Wow. Exactly. That's how old I am.
You have paid your dues.
As the Antichrist.
Has he ever?
The devil don't crack, apparently. That's why.
Devil don't
I'm much
crack.
Older than you think. Isn't there a song about that? Why didn't we play Sympathy for the Devil, guys?
Yes, there you go.
Come on. Yes. I should be in charge.
Absolutely.
Or Jesus Doesn't Want Me for a Sunbeam.
I love that song, especially the Kurt Cobain cover.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Okay, this is going to another extreme. Good morning to you. Our special guests in studio, the one and only John Fismas and Joseph Clark. And they got two great shows coming out. Brain Dump.
Yes.
Okay, so now where did this all arise?
I did my last show, The Good Racist. It was all about the history of racism, and it was quite a heavy topic, and it went really well. I'm still going, actually. I'm just come back from Australia. But... it was good. I just wanted a bit of a break. So I thought, well, where does racism come from? And ultimately, it actually begins in the brain. That's the human mind. That's what spawned this thing. So I thought, let me find out more about the brain. And then, I mean, amazingly, and I thought with real support for my career, my dad's always backed me in what I've chosen to do, which is very cool of him. And we have a great relationship. He went a little bit too far this time. When I started researching, my dad collapsed with a massive stroke, which was, really supportive. I did thank him in ICU and said, wow, Dad, thanks. I mean, I I'm doing the show. You didn't have to go to all this trouble. So he kind of laughed with one shoulder because he's a bit struggling. He's struggling at the moment. But I'm spending a lot of time with my dad in Durban, and he's going through the process of learning how to walk and talk again. And it's been amazing because I've been learning about the brain. So I'm able to actually tell him what's going on. And like, we've literally watched him rebuilding neural pathways as the days go. So it just turned out that way. I didn't plan for that to happen, obviously, but so this new show is all about the physical working of the human brain, and it's a ridiculous organ.
But It's interesting because, I mean, really, great health doesn't work well in your family.
Yes.
Your heart had an issue.
Well, no, my heart got cold, basically. It got flu. It's called perimyocarditis. It's like there's you can get it. It's instead of getting a runny nose, you get like fluid around your heart and then it can't beat properly. And then you don't have a heart attack, but you release all the enzymes of the markers for a heart attack.
Because the papers all read John Flissmus had a heart attack.
Yeah, well, everyone wanted me to have a heart attack because obviously when you're a drug addicted lunatic and you came back screams and said, a lot.
Turns out I'm just cold.
Yeah, some people told people I died overseas.
That's what I'm saying. We got all this news at that point in time. Yeah, and John had a heart attack. And I'm like, okay, I know it's Greek food is fattening, but hey the leg must be careful. Yeah. It could be up next.
Literally, you get flu. It's like flu. And I don't get sick, right? And then I couldn't get out of bed for like 2 days. I didn't know what was going on. And then the third morning, and I had a very young, my daughter was really young. She was like a baby. So she woke me up to get her a bottle, basically. That's what kind of saved my life. Because if I hadn't got up, I wouldn't have realized what was going on. And then I wouldn't have gone straight to Mill Park, where they've got a great cardiac team. And everyone thought I was going there after 3 days of a bender, but I wasn't. I'd been in bed. And anyway, I have no damage. There's no evidence in my heart of anything having happened. So
I'm just tapping into that. Sure. There was a lot of news at that time.
Yeah, but I went to do advanced scuba diving and then some technical diving. And so obviously I had to go for quite a serious check because you go quite deep.
Flu of the heart.
It's basically, and the doctor said, don't come back here. You're not a cardiac patient. You had a thing, but like it's not like you have structural problems, you know. My dad has a lot of stuff going on. He's got some stents and pacemaker and all that.
And it's been hard, obviously, to go and to see him in that state, I guess. I mean, it's not
tricky.
The easiest thing.
Yeah, I'm very like, I'm different like that. Like we are very tight and like I know when you're in that situation. Like my dad's fully cognitive, so he's a very bright guy. So I go and have conversations with him where I'm like, dude, I'm sorry everyone's talking to you like you're a fucking idiot. Like, I'm sorry. He's like, hello. And he's like, dude, I'm 74 years old. I have an IQ. Why are you talking to me like that? I've just forgotten how to talk. I can still think, you dick. And I can see him. I can see all that going on. I'm like, listen, dude, I've sorted this out. That's okay. Don't panic. But I'm just helping. And it's amazing. I forgot how tough my dad is. He's always been quite a tough dude. But he's remembered how tough he is in this one. And it's amazing Yeah, I mean, he's lying there, and I mean, he's much more mobile now, and we can yes and no, we can communicate. But he literally inspired me, like just lying there, the way he handled it. I was blown away. I still am. I'm going down again in a couple of days, but he's gangster, man. People just struggle with major brain events like that. He's like, I'm gonna get through this. I'm like, of course you are. So I'm not very. I don't get emotional about these things when I help.
But there is something interesting in it. It just shows you the desire of the human spirit to survive and to function and to operate. I mean, you see it across the board. You see people that have these huge car accidents, and you see them walking, and they do the people like Eric Holm, for example, or Victor Vermeulen. And I'm just using small examples.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are people where they say, are they going to ever come back? And it's the power of the spirit and what you can
and
do.
And now I've got to take all that and turn it into irreverent comedy. So that's a very big job.
Yes.
Because your brain is ultimately a ridiculous piece of equipment. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you believe in evolution or God, both are highly inefficient designers. For the amount of work that's gone in and what we've achieved and the gaps in the brain, it's outrageous. I've just learned so much. Your brain is basically a 3-pound piece of tofu that's electrocuted itself and it's in the dark all the time. It has no idea. It relies on very bad signals from the outside world to make a best guess of what's going to happen.
That's true.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a guess.
Yeah, and your thinking process is ultimately predictive text.
And
that's how you think. You essentially are trying to predict what comes next.
John.
The other day I had the word
brain dump.
Anticipation corrected to anticipatio, which I thought was an interesting Asian take on the word.
You are obsessed with the Asian continent.
Yes, I'm a 12-year-old Asian boy.
That's outrageous.
All right, so there's something coming into studio. We're going to be doing it with Oreo.
Oreo.
You know the biscuits.
Oh, yeah. Right. I thought it was a racial slur of some kind.
I love this. I love you, John.
Now we've thrown his questions into big doubt now. Don't worry, I'll toe the line if there's a live
John,
read.
You're cool, eh, John? There's a live read, Johnny. That's what you got to do, honey. Here we go. All right. So last year, on World Chocolate Day, which is the 7th of July. I didn't know there was a World Chocolate Day. I thought for Alan Ford, every day is World Chocolate Day. Except for when we're in Lent. Lent, we can't eat chocolate.
Lent, you're not allowed, eh?
I thought called it Black Friday.
I don't know. And so listen to this. We discovered Oreo cookies covered in Cadbury chocolate. Seriously. Bring me this cake. And look at this.
That is a hell of a cake.
This
I
is
have
a
to say.
Hell of a cake.
Wow.
John.
Shizak.
But I think someone has to blow out the candle. Okay. I thought these were candles.
They're not candles. They're white chocolate swirls.
It's white chocolate swirls. It's too beautiful. How beautiful is this cake? Do we cut the cake?
It's beautiful.
Or do we give it to her? Listen. Do you want cake?
I always want cake. But Alan said earlier we should give it to an orphanage or something. And I'm kind of like, don't they need nutrients though? Like,
okay.
But there's nutrients in chocolate.
Yeah, there's energy.
Yeah. Are you going to say?
There's stuff. Okay. I think it's a great idea. You know, you make children happy.
So these are the Wonder Peeps, by the way. There's three Wonder Peeps
hello,
in
Wonder
here.
Peeps.
Can I read the rest of the read?
Okay. Oh, yes. What's
right.
going on
so
here?
Hold on. We discovered Oreo cookies were covered in Cadbury's chocolate, okay? Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate. And now, exactly a year later, such delicious moments should be celebrated, which is exactly what they're doing today here on Cliff Central. With you, John, and Joseph, and Nathan, and myself.
Wow. And my tongue is dripping like Freddie Mercury while writing.
Wonderful people.
Is your tongue naked, though?
Of Oreo have dropped off a delicious Oreo. Read that word.
Embroidered. So Alan can't read this word. Embroidered. It's not embroidered. Oreo have dropped off a delicious Oreo enrobed cake.
Enrobed. Embroidered.
Enrobed.
It's the new way of saying covered in.
It's the opposite of Freddie Mercury.
It's the opposite
he was disrobed.
That's right.
Enrobed.
This is enrobed.
If he'd been enrobed, he might still be singing. So we don't know. We don't know.
This delicious biscuit is available in 6-packs at selected locations. Six packs. It's the new beer.
Where's the 6-pack?
Basically,
this is a 6-pack.
If you dip those in milk, it's very good.
It's
one of life's great comforts.
It is. It is.
I'm not into product.
How many bubbles you got now?
I can tell you.
I mean, that you know.
How many
children?
Just the one. Yeah.
Okay. There's one for yours.
Oh, thank you.
Boom. You're getting
Oreo. I am. Because this makes people happy. Okay.
And happy birthday, happy birthday, happy Oreo day to you.
Wonder guys, thank you. And don't forget World Chocolate Day, and thank you to Oreos, because we're going to donate this to a kiddie's home. So if you can find one in the area, we're going to go and
Al, so here's a picture of what an enrobed Oreo looks like.
I know, because they're on the
cake. So it's chocolate-covered Oreo. You know an Oreo is ready.
I know what it looks like.
Now it's covered in chocolate.
It's covered. We've done the cell. Okay, but that being said, this is a cool thing. How many kids have you got? You've got a few.
I've got a grandson, so give him... that was a point for the grandson.
Okay, and there's a reason that I've got to say that I am always on diet. It clearly has been working really well. If you notice, I started when I was about 7.5 years old. Can you see the weight loss? It's incredible.
Yeah. No, but you have lost weight.
I've lost a lot.
A lot of weight.
It's like a accordion. It goes up and down.
Right. But very special. But you have lost a lot of weight since I've known you.
Yes, I was big.
A lot of weight.
Yes, I was 180 odd kilos those
well
days.
Done man
not bad well, not yeah. bad and then Nathan, why are you not allowed to have these ready?
Why?
Yes.
Because my body is a temple and I am a diabetic temple.
Oh, are you a temple to the god diabetes?
Yeah.
Very good.
I put the beat in diabetes.
Oh, nice
to the
one,
die.
DJ.
No,
good for you.
So,
I'm
so happy to say we're going to take this off to Nazareth House. I'll drive there after the show and we'll drop it off.
Fantastic.
That's a cool
very
thing to
good.
Do.
That's great. That's,
thank you.
It makes me very sad.
I know you're going to cut the cat.
Think of it as your pancreas thanking you.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
So thank you very much and we'll take some pictures.
So this is the same John is like, you know, when they put like a big pile of cocaine in front of you, and then they took it away.
Yes, I cried for months.
And they gave it to children.
I did my rehab in a funeral home. I was so sad for the end of drinking and drugging.
John's like, can I just have a little bit of the booger sugar? Yeah. And then they took it to Nazareth.
You've got all the cute little words for things.
It's an Asian thing.
Can I ask you, John, because it's, how did you recover? I mean, how did that go?
You go to a place and they lock you in and then you stay there for 28 days and you pay them an enormous sum of money and then you leave. And then
how bad did you get?
I don't know what the scale is. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Well, how did you know you had to go?
Did you ever try to fit yourself through a keyhole?
If you wake up and you're drinking, you've got to drink at breakfast and then you need to get cocaine at lunchtime to fix the drinking to be sober enough to drink at lunch.
Okay.
You just get an idea. You start to realize that things are... If you get so much anxiety that you can't be in a room by yourself, it's hard to be on stage on your own. It's mad. So that's... I think you just get tired. And also, I have to say, I wish I could be all inspirational, but the truth is, when I started not liking my work, that's when I started panicking, because I didn't like doing comedy. I just was too anxious, and that's when I realized this was a disaster. I wish it had been something more important, like my family, but I can't say that if I'm honest. I mean, I'm glad, obviously, since it's been like 14 or 15 years, but I've rediscovered being a family, and like those things are all important.
Yeah.
But my work started suffering in that.
And how long were you binging for, do you think?
About 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I drank heavily, fairly regularly from the age of about 15, I think. And then drugs would just allow you to drink more, actually. Cocaine's a
very just absorbs the liquid inside you.
It does, but then you put the hangover onto like an overdraft plan, and then when it kicks in,
it's like using a credit card.
Yes,
eventually
you get woken up by your liver, who's actually slapping you in the face, saying this shit has to stop immediately. Yeah.
But again, incredible that people can do it. I mean, that's it.
It's not a huge success rate. But I'll tell you again, my dad was a big part of it, because he basically, when I was checking out of the rehab, he came and said, I got a message to say your family is going to tell you that it's cool, but if you do it again, they're not going to help. You're not going to support you. And then my dad started the meeting by saying, look, I know everyone here has got a plan to tell you that we won't back you if this happens again, but I can't say that. He said, I can't promise that I'll stick to that plan, but please don't do this again.
Yeah.
And we have a very good understanding. The moment he said that, I'm like, okay, I know how weak that might seem, so I will never disrespect that. Risk that he's taking, because that's really love. It's hard to, so that gesture by my dad, I wouldn't ever make him look like a dick by relapsing, because I don't want him to look like he's stupid, because he's not. And so anyway, it's complicated, but that's my thing. And like, my best friend does all the meetings and the sponsors, and he does all that system. I'm not.
It's fine.
Not that guy. But it works for whatever works for anyone, you know.
But the lesson is, you can get out of it.
If you're able to
work through it, and that's the important thing. On that note, I look at this cake and I think,
and you're letting it go.
Go back and die.
Let it go.
Don't relapse, Al.
Now we have to prepare another song, because we need Joseph to do something for us.
But I want to ask you a question. This Frozen, I mean, it's a brilliantly written musical. The movie, the Disney.
Yes, yeah.
Isn't it a brilliant? Like, I went to watch
Papa,
it with the kids.
Can you hear me?
No, but I mean, it's not something I should like on theory, but I mean, I think it's a brilliantly structured musical.
It is. Yeah.
How old's your daughter now?
She's 17. She's beyond Frozen.
But still, everyone loves Frozen. I love Frozen. Cool. I'm 40.
I just responded to
it. I'm 40 more. Well, I'm still 40, but I'm not a few months.
It's been a while since a really great all-hit musical was written, and I just thought it was pretty good. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous coming from Satan and Rats, but it's, you've got to give credit where it's due. You know, I wondered, from a musical guy, you know, how you felt.
Do you know do you know the songs from Frozen?
No, I don't really. Okay. I mean, I recognize them, but I don't know any of the songs. What are you doing?
That bullet,
yeah, I dodged it. Yeah, wow, definitely.
I would talk over you just to help you with that one, because it's not fair.
No, you probably know it a lot better than I do.
There's an incredible story Nathan related to me yesterday, and it's a story of Kevin Bacon versus Joseph Clark.
Oh, right, here we go. Okay. Right. I just heard it. It's amazing.
Okay, which is great. Footloose. Okay, just give me a bit of Footloose, because just before we go to this show, I'm jumping all over the place. Yeah, but Footloose.
It's okay, man. He's a young Asian guy. He's supple. He can move pretty agile.
Because he's a pianist. Jeez.
I actually got to sing this with the Joseph Clark.
That's right.
On stage.
We sang this together.
Yeah. Really?
I can't hit any of these notes.
Wow. Okay, so hold on. On that note, actually, Joseph's going to sing this for us. So let's get the karaoke version.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, but okay, this is what we're going to do.
Fade out.
Okay. But there is there's a story here. So you're in LA.
No, I was working with a ballet company in Salt Lake City called Ballet West.
All right, sorry, I don't
know. But I'd done a movie in 1981 called 6 Weeks, which starred Mary Tyler Moore and Dudley Moore, and it was a movie about a young girl who had leukemia, Mary Tyler Moore's daughter, but she was a very good dancer, and her dream was to do the Nutcracker before she passed away, and we were busy on tour. In Long Beach, and the movie production company came to the company and said, we'd like to use the company for this Nutcracker sequence, and we'd like Joseph to play kind of this part opposite her. So I literally kind of played myself. But the movie was very, very successful, and is now kind of a staple. It's shown at Christmas time in the States every year, kind of like...
What's the name of the movie?
It's called 6 Weeks.
6 Weeks.
Okay. Yeah. And... From that, I got to know the choreographer. Her name was Juliet Taylor. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years later, they were going to do this movie called Footloose. And it was going to be filmed in Utah, which is where we were. So she called me personally and said, I want you to do this role. And I'm going to push for it. Because you know you're a great actor and also you're a dancer, which is what the lead role in this movie needs. And I said, yes, absolutely, I'll do it, you know. And she said, okay, I'm going to push for you. And then about 2 months later, she called and she said, I'm so sorry, you know, Hollywood, they wanted somebody that's kind of up and coming, and so they chose Kevin Bacon
over you.
Yeah. Over me. The sad thing was that he didn't do his own dancing. They had to have a dancer come in to do his.
That's why he had that long shaggy parts. Hair.
And I think I was originally going to do that, but we were on tour in Washington D.C. or something.
Oh, you were
going to
fill in for Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I was. Wow. Gonna, yeah,
do the
dancing. I was going
to get the second row.
Yeah, I was going to be that the fill in. But we were in Washington D.C. at the moment. We were performing at Kennedy Center, and I just went. No way.
So firstly, he was.
I'd rather perform at Kennedy Center than to be Kevin Bacon's double, especially when I was up for the role.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's incredible story, and I mean, look at Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he
went on to do Hollow Man, and
no. There's a game that you can play. Have you heard of the game?
He didn't do the invisible parts though.
Joseph Clark.
I did it. Yeah, they called me and I did the stand-in for that.
John, you're good. Okay, but here's the thing: that there's a game that you play six
no,
degrees.
I would rather play 6 degrees of separation. Let's work out who we've all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think.
Okay, so it's on that note, have we got that Footloose? So if Joseph Clark Nathan Rowe as a backup.
Okay, all right.
I won't. We're all gonna help you. Come on, we're gonna get involved.
Like the seagull and the Little Mermaid.
Okay. All right, just stand by. This is Joseph Clark.
Papa, can you hear me?
Okay.
Under the sea. I've heard you sing that. Okay. I've heard you sing that.
Have you guys seen Deadpool 2?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
He constantly compares, Papa, can you hear me? To, do you want to build a snowman? It's just great. Yeah.
We'll do that in a moment. But so here's Joseph Clark taking the lead with Nathan Rowe's backup, John Flismas doing something in the background, maybe
just being cynical. I'm just going to be cynical. And I'll be
say a few four-letter words or something. You know,
I might just do the dubki. He could do what's the hoppa, the Greek song.
Right.
We'll do something.
I'm not very Greek. I mean,
we'll make you Greek.
Okay, that's fine. Let's pretend.
Let's meet after the show.
Hashtag Zorba.
Okay, let's just get into Footloose. Let's go, Joseph.
John on guitar.
It's a good song. I love playing this part. It's my favorite.
Wasn't this in Top Gun?
Yeah. I did that as well.
Oh, yeah.
I did all the flying for Tom Cruise.
Working so hard, I've been punching my card. 8 hours for what? Oh, tell me what I got. I got this feeling that life is holding me down.
You're pretty good at this, Joe.
I'll hit the ceiling, or else I'll tear up this town.
lost his Sunday shoes.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Louise, pull me up on your knees.
You.
Jack.
Accent.
Forget that. Come on before we crack.
We don't do crack.
Loose.
Say no.
Don't lose. Everybody cut for loose.
It's a lot of dots now.
Go, Rowan.
Yep.
Alan.
So cool. Obeying every rule.
Dig way down deep in your heart. The burning yearning for some.
Somebody to tell you.
Sing it.
That life ain't passing you by.
Oh. Utah!
Make for your love, more than one wife.
That's right. You. It will if you don't even try. Utah! If you only cut loose.
Foot loose. Kick off your Sunday shoes. Me, Marie, shake it for me. Oh, Milo,
Oreo,
come on, let's go.
Nice product placement.
Loose your blues. Everybody cut for loose.
Cynicism solo.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Can you do that in a key higher?
Sorry?
Can you do that in the key of atheist?
I can.
Take a hold of your soul.
That sounded really good.
Wow!
You're gonna stop.
I'm turning it loose.
Foot loose.
Kick out Sunday shoes.
Please, Louise. Pull me up on your knees. Jack, get back. Come on before John cracks.
Can happen at any time. Any time.
Everybody cut foot loose.
Who's foot loose?
Foot loose. Kick out Sunday shoes.
Woo!
I'm sweating.
Louise,
pull me
off.
Knees.
Oh, Jack, you get back. Come on before we crack. Loose.
Everybody cut. That was the 80s at most parties, in fact.
And the early 2000s.
Yeah. Problem. Yeah. I think it's quite insensitive.
But we have stopped
I've just
that
told
now.
You guys my dad had a stroke and then you sing Footloose. Like, I just think it's really deeply insensitive.
Sorry. I'm diabetic. You know how that makes me feel. You know, well, I'm diabetic to lose feet.
The cake was for you. So.
And
in fact, those little white chocolate straws are for you to cut little lines of birthday cake and then snort them into your pancreas with the little white tube of the thing.
So that wasn't me singing. That was Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Sure. Do you think with a surname like that, you think he paid his dues?
I tell you, Mel Gibson loves Kevin Bacon. Yeah. He loves him.
The world's gone mad. Welcome to the Unview, the thin,
the rich.
And the fabulous. That's our key line. Do you know that?
Is that your line?
Well, we don't know who's thin and who's rich, but we're most certainly fabulous.
That's nice. It's shallow, but it's
slightly more really fabulous lovely. Than me.
No. Sounds like whippets that have done well on the stock market. It's amazing.
I heard a great line this week. I'm so straight, I eat my hot dogs from the middle. So, so
John,
that's how fabulous
John,
I am.
John, please.
Yeah, at least we found a warm-up artist for brain
yeah.
dump.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing.
It should be fun.
There's Nate from Asia with his really good hot dog joke.
I go by Straight Nate.
Straight Nate.
Yeah.
I think I saw you in a cage fight with Sacha Baron Cohen in a film.
It wasn't a cage. It was an elephant.
Aha. I love this. This has been fun, I've got to tell you. So we've got some great shows happening. You're opening the Artscape?
Yes.
Okay, and that's this coming week?
Yeah, that's on the 11th. We open on the 11th and we go to...
Which is great, it's no competition for John.
Yes.
No, not at all. We're not going to clash with each other.
You're not clashing the two of you.
No clashing.
You guys have such similar audiences.
Often find my crowd are waiting for
exactly.
Joe to finish. So,
mine too. They're always going, come on, you know, John's on
come on
now.
With the dick
come
jokes.
On,
come on.
Yeah,
come
finish this
beautiful singing.
The show must go on. The show must go on. Come on.
John, just make that little girl cry so I can go home.
Great little peaches. Just just tap into peaches for a second.
Oh,
tap
okay.
Into peaches. Wow,
we're talking about John Fliss, and then he says he has great little peaches. I was confused there for a second.
Well, I do.
He's
really
got a cute little tushy. I mean,
I have great peaches. You know, seasonally, obviously.
Yeah.
Older now, 45. I mean, there's a season for these things. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about. You said
peach.
Peach. Peach.
Yeah, peach.
Yes, your stepson.
Yes. Son. Yeah. Well, he's kind of technically my son. Not
okay,
his
your son.
Yeah.
Your son.
He is
your
my
son.
Son because I adopted him. So yeah. Okay.
So no steps.
And you said that you guys.
One of my favorite bands is Bittered Ender.
Yeah.
And I've worked with them. In fact, they opened my show, The Good Racist, when I taped it for Comedy Central at the Teatro. Funny enough.
Yeah.
And then I met this cool guy Peach with Yaku and with Louis and then we were just chatting today. I had no idea that Joe had was his dad.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm. Which is brilliant. We'd love to get them on the show.
He's phenomenal. They've got great tracks. There's something you should carry karaoke sometime.
Definitely. Okay.
Yes. I just said lovely to just to create.
Imagine karaoke Yaku's lyrics.
Yaku's lyrics. Yeah, wow. I just think it's so cool to give it a punt, and that's why I thought we'd do that, and just so that there's a great connection between.
I'm trying to think of a song, a dunk dance, Machine, I think is the name
so
of the song.
So Peter has started his own thing now called Fun Plätzen.
It's called Fun
Plätzen.
Yeah.
We got a song here called Goud.
Oh,
it probably will be.
Yeah.
Let's hear quickly.
Yeah. Let me just work out how to push play.
Kom eens drijf die town. Ik kom met dogs met die windows down. Bass brom in die boot. Die hele stad wordt het klink so good. En allemaal is jealous. Ons cruise met de Mercedes Benz. Want ons is winners. Mac game sterk, so let's play tennis.
Away on the keyboard.
You guys have to see this on YouTube.
Damn girl, yeah, it's fine. Bokies fitter as the bassline.
Bokies fitter as the bassline. You have to love
that's
these
Peach's
guys.
That's his newest project called Fun Plätzen.
We're going to get them in.
There's some great Afrikaans.
You must. You have to get them
we're
in.
We're going to get them in. That's great. Yeah.
There's so many great Afrikaans off the wall stuff. That,
yes.
I don't know if you've heard of DJ Blowcast.
No.
It's very interesting. He's got a song called Kijk Net in Chill. But it's the music is actually phenomenally good.
Yeah.
It's because you kind of listen to it as a joke and then you're like, damn, I could actually get down to this in a club.
Mm. Wow. Cool.
It is great to have you guys on the show. Thank you for being with us this
thanks
morning.
Thanks for having us.
It's really been such a
really
I've loved
you.
It.
I mean,
seriously.
The cake,
so
everything.
Cool. The cake, the chocolate, the vibe. At least you leave with
this
a goodie
bag. This
guy
that said nothing the whole time. Yeah. And the Satcha being Portuguese.
Fascinating, yeah.
Like you just have people just sitting in just to add Portuguese.
But I'm sure the audience knew his presence.
They could
they
feel
his
feel
presence.
Presence.
Feel the presence.
It is half Lebanese, half Portuguese, just so you know. It's a combination.
Yeah, his team's out of the World Cup, so he's a bit sad.
That's why you're not.
On that note, guys,
you're not even talking.
Very quickly, we don't have much time. Who's winning the World Cup for you? Joseph Clark.
England.
America. Oh.
John?
What game is it?
World Cup doesn't care.
You know that one of the billionaires kicks a round ball into the net?
The billionaire people.
I changed my mind. It's France. France.
Okay, France. Okay, cool. Let's leave it there. On that note, Joseph Clark, don't miss the music of Queen happening at the Artscape next week, the 11th. And you have three performances happening in Johannesburg, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Sun Arena at Times Square. That's Joseph Clark. John Flissmas opens Brain Dump at Peter Turin Theatre at Monte Cassino, the 11th of July to the 12th of August. We'll punch you in between so you
thank
can get
you.
It going.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations, Ogo Productions opened. Well, you've been open for a bit, but
yes,
you're going very well.
Yeah, we just launched the Twitter handle launched today, but we've been producing for a while.
Thank you for joining us in studio. You guys are magical.
Thanks for having us.
Love you.
Love you guys. All the best with your families.
Yes.
If you're going to start one, you know, it's going to be awkward, but you'll get there. You'll get there. Just persevere. That's what I'm trying to say.
And this has been The Unview with Alan Ford and Nathan Rowe, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Cheers, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.